Muchas gracias, misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín. Allá donde te encuentras, en Lima, Perú, la congregación que pastorea, reverendo.
Thank you very much, missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín. There where you are in Lima, Peru, in the congregation that the Reverend Rona Rios pastors, and all the brethren there, may God bless you greatly, and also everyone connected through the satellite Amazonas and satellite Eutelsat 8, and also through the internet and all means of communication, and also to everyone present here, all those who are visiting us as well. May God bless you greatly on this beautiful morning, as well as those who later on will be listening and watching and also reading what will be spoken on this occasion. Today, Sunday, February 25th of this year 2024, we have the subject, The Voice of the Sign, preached by Dr. William Soto Santiago on Friday, June 5th, 2015, here in Calle, Puerto Rico. And let us read the scripture that he read to us of the Gospel according to John, chapter 10, verse 27 and on, where he tells us, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." There on the left, he draws a Star of David. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." And there he draws another Star of David there on the left side. The Voice of the Sign. You may please be seated. He tells us in the message, the Living Bible, preached on November 9th, 2002, in Loprado, Chile, he tells us, our brother William, when the Bible in letter form then becomes flesh, the divine revelation of the letter content of the written Bible is opened. The divine revelation of the letter content of the written Bible is opened. Then the Bible itself, in an audible voice, through the veil of flesh, where it becomes the living Bible, speaks to us and opens to us all the mysteries contained for the time in which the Bible is alive. In the message, the trial, it tells us on page 11 to 12, why? He said. He's speaking about Moses. He said, "I was trained in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. I was a professor to whom wouldn't have it. But one day on the backside of the desert," and he writes desert, "after I was 80 years old, I met God. And he was in the form of a sign. And he was a burning fire back in a bush. And he told me that he had heard the groans of his people, and he remembered his promise to deliver them. And he said, 'I am sending you.' And I said, 'Who am I? I can't speak well. I'm not a theologian. I can't go.' He said, 'You'll be given two signs. One of them will be in your hand. The other one be by a stick. And if they won't hear the voice of this sign, then pour some water upon the ground. It'll turn to blood. Then that finishes it.'" when I took my sign that God gave me, and I went down before Pharaoh. Pastor Pharaoh, he tried to make my gift look kind of a shady. He said, most any sheep fortune teller of Egyptian can do that. Most any sheep magic man can turn these tricks. And he got out two fellows by the names of Jambres and James. And actually, they impersonated everything that I'd done. But that didn't stop me. Because the voice that sent me was a scriptural voice. And I stayed with it. It was the word of God. And he writes, a scriptural voice. They may say, what he is doing, I can also do it. Do what he is doing there. Same as what happened with Moses at that time. But notice, when the part about the rods happened where he casted them down and they became serpents, and they also did the same thing. Moses' rod, that is, the serpent of Moses, ate theirs. It was a scriptural sign and a scriptural voice. For I remember my promise and the time is at hand. They hadn't had no prophets in Israel for hundreds of years. 404 years. And he writes, and today for 2,000 years. They have no prophets in Israel. But he said, I'm sending you to be one. And he went. And he told me that for a sign, I'd come back and bring the children to this mountain. It took a long time, but I did. I stayed right true to the word. And when Jambres and those carnal impersonators that tried to mock it, yet I know no matter how much mock they could give. Do you know that's to repeat again in the last days? Jesus said so. The Bible said, and he writes, in the last days, as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so will these men in the last days, impersonators trying to act like copy after. But he said, I stood still because I know the voice was a scriptural voice. Yet, there was two of them, and only one of him. But he went down, and he proved out to be true. He come right back to the mountain where God told him, step down, Moses. Let's call another witness right quick. Joshua. And he writes, Joshua. Joshua said, when we was nearing the land, we come up to Kadesh Barnea, and Moses, the servant of God, went and took all one out of every tribe, one out of every denomination. And he said, let's go over and spy out the land. And we went over, two of us, and brought back the evidence that the land was good. And he writes on the side, today Moses and Elijah, the two olive trees, the two witnesses, they had the evidence of it. Them were real Pentecostals. So they come back with the evidence that the land was good. And later on, let us see if we get there. Because these two witnesses, notice, there is a part in their ministry where first, spiritually, they will have the evidence of that promised land. But then, physically as well. So they come back with the evidence that the land was good. But when it comes to taking the full land, they said, we can't do it. We can't do it. We're not able. And the people was all tore up. They didn't know what to do. Which organization to go to. And I still them. He's saying that it's Joshua there. and I still them said, remember, it's a promise of God. God said, I have given you this land, and what God promises, He'll do. I got the people quiet. The next day, you say, are we going to leave? The next day, are we going to leave? It was 40 years later, but we took the land. And he writes, 40 years later. And he had written back there, the Holy Spirit is needed to bring the word to life. The voice of the scripture is the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, he goes on to say here, in the message, the Living Bible, meanwhile, the biblical prophecies for each time are closed up and sealed until they become a reality. And through that real manifestation, the mystery contained in the promised word for that time is made known. In John chapter 10, the chapter that we read a few minutes ago, on the first verse, it tells us, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and robber. But he that entereth in by the door, and he writes, Christ, is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. He writes their porter. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And there he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And on that verse 4 in a Bible study, there he wrote, on that fourth verse, verse 4 of the 10th chapter, the voice of the scripture made a reality. In other words, fulfilled. The voice of the scripture made a reality. Our brother William continues saying here, therefore, the Bible has been made flesh in each age, in the portion pertaining to each age. Therefore, the Bible that contains what God will do at this time will be manifested itself in human flesh, will be fulfilled in human flesh, and will be making known to us what is happening at this time. And will be making known to us what is happening at this time. That is the only way to know what is happening in each time. Therefore, that is the way for this end time. Also in that same study, let us see if it's the same one. There on the back part he writes, in the voice of the sign is where the word, and he writes the message, of the age or dispensation made flesh, revealing and fulfilling the promised word for each and in each age or dispensation. It is the promised word quickened, brought to life, to materialization, to fulfillment. Let me repeat it so that you can write it correctly there. Those who are transcribing, may God bless those brethren. In the voice of the sign is where the word, the message of the age or dispensation made flesh, revealing and fulfilling the promised word for each and in each age or dispensation. It is the promised word quickened, brought to life, to materialization to fulfillment. In the message, the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to the church at the last day, which was preached on Sunday, June 28, 2015. There he was reading to us from 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter 7th verse. He was reading beginning on verse 6, and then after he finished that scripture, he tells us. The promise was that the Holy Spirit would come. It says, "And he shall teach you all things." And he taught Paul all things related to the Jews and related to the Gentiles, to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The message that Paul preached was the voice of God for Christianity in the midst of the Gentiles. Because where the Holy Spirit is where the instrument of flesh will always be, to reveal himself to him and to speak through him to his church, to his people. And what he will be saying, the message he will be bringing from God, is the voice of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit for the people. And the one that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches, from stage to stage, from age to age. The voice of the Holy Spirit has been heard in the midst of Christianity by those who have ears to hear. He who does not have ears to hear the word of God, the voice of God, will never hear it. That is why Christ himself said, "He that is of God hears God's voice." Chapter 8, verse 47 says in John, "He that is of God heareth God's word." In other words, he that is a child of God, notice, when he hears the voice of God in each age and in each dispensation, to him, that is a cause of joy, of happiness, because word and word magnetize. Therefore, for them is a revival in that time that God had put them to live. To others, is actually a torment. That is what happened with that man who had those devils which spoke through that person's mouth. And they told Jesus, "Torment us no longer." And also Revelation 11, we see there where it says, to these prophets who had tormented us, they had tormented, see, says day and night. To some is a blessing, to others is a torment. He that is of God, what does he do? What does he hear? It says, he that is of God heareth God's word. And he that is not of God, what does he do? Does not hear them. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. He says to those who did not want to hear the voice of God through Jesus. And also on chapter 10 of John, verse 25 and on, he says, just before that, 22 and on John, chapter 10 says, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Brother William says, but they wanted to know if he was the Christ to them believe, that they wanted to hear from the lips of Christ that he was the Christ? No. There are people who want to know to then openly rise up against it and try to destroy the work that God is carrying out through the instrument that he has for each time. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. He is already saying, I have already said that long ago. I have told you that, and you do not believe. In other words, they wanted for him to repeat it to them again. What for? To not believe and rise up against what Christ was saying. They wanted to know if he was the Christ, the Anointed One with the Holy Spirit for that time, the Messiah. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. In the message, and know it not, it tells us on page 19, it says on that page, Jesus said to Nicodemus, from the ecumenical council of his day, come to him by night, said, Master, we know you're a teacher, comes from God. Because no man could do the things you do unless God is with him. He said, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he can't even see the kingdom of God. Said, me, an old man, enter into my mother's womb to be born? He said, now, how am I going to tell you heavenly things when you won't even believe earthly things? See? Then he said one day, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, drink his blood, you have no life in you. He didn't explain it. Those apostles and them of that day who was ordained to life, he noted, said, all the Father has given me will come. Only thing you have to do is just make my voice known. And there he drew a Star of David. They noted, for my sheep know my voice. And a voice is a word expressed. And there he writes, the voice equals the word expressed. See? They believe it anyhow. They don't have to scientifically prove anything or ask any Sadducee or Pharisee or anything else about it. I said it. They believed it. For my sheep hear my voice. And this is the voice of God in letter form, because this is the entire revelation of Jesus Christ, Old and New Testament put together. Amen. There you are. And notice, in the message, in the edited Book of the Ages, on page 29-30, this is in the book, The Patmos Vision. Here he told us, Old and New Testament put together. And let us see on this one, which is that portion. Here, where it says, and the angel who spoke to me returned. Yes, it is the same page of the Book of the Ages. He's reading the scripture of Zechariah 4 on page 29-30. In the message of Patmos Vision, on paragraph 143, is for you can have what he wrote there. It's the same thing. Remember, he has two books and he wrote on both of them. But that little part, let us read first the unedited book on that paragraph. For he makes a comment here, because he did not make it on the other one. Page 29-30, on paragraph 143, it says, and he said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick. Now that's same word is translated lampstand. Notice that verse on the Bible. All of gold with a bowl upon top of it. That was the lamp. And his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof. See the same church ages coming up, see? And two olive trees by it. Now, what did they burn in those lamps in the Bible time? Does anyone know? Oil. What kind of oil? Olive oil. Two olive trees. What is it? The New and Old Testament. It's two standing by it. And he writes there on the right side, the two olive trees, OT and NT. In other words, Old and New Testament. And below OT, or Old Testament, he writes Moses. And below New Testament, he writes Elisha. And here in this book, of the ages edited, in the verse where he is saying of Zechariah, upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. And there beside it he writes, Revelation 11, 3-6. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? And there he writes, Revelation 19, 8-11, 22:8-10. You can read those scriptures later on, so that you can see everything that is there. He continues saying, and the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Here is another lamp of pure gold. It is burning brightly because it has plenty of oil, which is getting from the two olive trees, which stand on either side. The two trees represent the Old and New Testament. And he writes on the right side, Revelation 11, 3-7. And of course, the oil typifies the Holy Ghost, who along can give the light of God to the people. And there he writes on the side, toward the top, the two olive trees, Old and New Testament, but he abbreviates it, OT and NT. The two olive trees equals OT and NT. And there below, he also writes toward the top, the two olive trees equals Moses and Elijah. The angel who spoke to Zechariah was a such a saying, this what you see means that the church cannot accomplish anything by its own might or power, but by the Holy Ghost. And there he draws a Star of David and a cornerstone and the ages. Now notice what he said to us there, that the Old and New Testament would come together. Now, a little further on, there he speaks to us. Let us read that last part. He says, he goes on to say there on that page 19 of the message, I knoweth it not. Why? You say, these are good people. What makes them? Because one thing, their tie post is on a church. And in here, you remember last Sundays, a week ago, how many was here and heard the sermon on the anointed ones in the last days? I think all of you, see, they are anointed in this second realm. And there he makes three circles. And starting from the first one, the small one, he writes 1, 2, 3, up to the outer one, number 3. Now, our brother William continues saying here, why? Because the works that he was carrying out were the works that it was prophesied that the Messiah would carry out. That is the identification of the one sent by God for each time. That he does the work that is promised in the scripture that the one who is sent pertaining to that time will be carrying out. And the works that was promised that the Messiah would carry out in the time of his coming in the midst of the Hebrew people were being done by Jesus. If you cannot believe, believe the works. He would tell them on some occasions. In the message, Christ is identified the same in all generations. Tells us on page 3 to 5. This was on April 15th, 1964. It says, we just passed through a great revival last 15, 16 years. We've had great meetings. It broke all history records, as far as I know history. Usually, a revival lasts about 3 years. But this has gone on for many years. And now the revival fires are quitting down. The enthusiasm of people is dying off, and you can see it. In the old temple of Vesta in Rome, when the fires went out, the people went home. But we are trying to rebuild these fires again on every hill that we can. I cannot do it. No minister can. It takes all of us together in prayer and believing and trusting God to see the Holy Spirit continue to bless His people as we wait on His coming. Now, my purpose is praying for the sick. I'm going to talk about that now. Pray for the sick. We don't try to say that's what we're here for. One thing we're for, but praying for the sick is a minor. You can never major with a minor. We know that. So, but Jesus used, I think they estimated about 86% of his ministry was prayer for the sick, healing the sick, because in that it catches the attention of the people. And then every sign has a voice behind it. And he writes there, the third pull is by the spoken word. And then, every sign has a voice behind it. And the voice must be a scriptural voice, the same as it must be a scriptural sign. And then the sign is accompanied by a voice. Like Moses, when he went down in Egypt, the voice of the first sign, the voice of the second sign, and every great thing that happened with God that gives us a sign, there's a voice follow that sign. And there he writes, the voice of the sign. Like Jonah, when he was delivered from the belly of the whale, that was a sign. Then his voice was, repent, or in 40 days you'll perish. So there's always the voice going with the sign. And there he draws the bottom part of the ages. He writes 40 days. And he also writes on the outside 40 years. In other words, it represents the time of the ages. And there, He places. This is a message in which as he says in this book of the 70 weeks of Daniel, in the place where it says, on page 22, I think it is, page 22, where he says, now, do you understand, class? If we can find out what these 70 weeks are, we know when the consummation is. And he draws Star of David, and he writes the consummation. Oh my, God help us to know it. He tells us exactly somewhere in these pages, exactly from that time till this time, until the consummation, and he won't miss it 1 minute. How God's great word. And he writes, that won't fail. He wrote that there. Now, here, on the side he writes several dates and sums. But I will only read here, or I will tell you, so that you have it together with that excerpt. I will give you the only ones that he allows me to say. He says, 2004 minus 1974 equals 30. That is, they are 30 years there. 2003 minus 1963 equals 40, that is, 40 years. 1963 minus, remember that 1963 is the cloud, minus 1933 equals 30, that is 30 years. Now, up to there. Look at that time. Around that time of 1974. Notice, there, to 2004, there are 30. And to 2002, there are 28. Which, notice what he's saying there. It says, now, what we are trying to do is try to get people to believe the Lord Jesus. Just accept Him without being hands laid on. Now, we know there is a scripture that says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And we don't try to belittle that scripture, because that was the commission Jesus Christ gave to the church, to lay hands on the sick. But if you'll bear with me, that was more like a Jewish tradition. Now remember that he didn't finish that part on page 27 or 30 of the 70 week of Daniel, where there at the end he says, and if we can find these days, we'll find exactly when the consummation will be. Do you get it? It's determined to the consummation. And there he writes, the consummation won't fail the date. Now notice what he continues saying here. Now, remember the girl that was laying sick? She died. Jairus' daughter. He said, come lay your hands upon my child and she'll get well. But the Roman centurion, a Gentile, said, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. Just speak the word, and my servant will live. Remember that he had written there, the third pull is by the spoken word. And Jesus turned around and said, I never seen faith like that in Israel. See, the Gentile way is to believe him. Just absolutely believe him. Now, we lay hands on the sick, of course, we do. But we try to bring the reality by the scriptures of Jesus Christ being present. Then, when you, by faith, reach up and touch him yourself, see, like the woman with the blood issue, touch his garment. Well, you say, if he was here, I would touch him. The Bible says in Hebrews 3 that he is now a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He can be touched just as well tonight as he was then. So, we want to touch him. Usually somebody say, well, you know, brother so-and-so, some minister, evangelist, laid hands upon me and, oh, the Lord healed me. They lay, brother so-and-so laid hands. See? That makes everybody wants to see that brother, to lay hands on somebody. After all, it wasn't a brother's hand that did it. It's your faith. And he writes, your faith. That's what does it. So then, when the evangelist leaves town, the pastor is just a little bitty fellow in the sight of the congregation usually. Some things happen, the healing and so forth. They think they have to have that evangelist back in town before anybody can be healed. Listen, don't you never believe that. It is your faith in God that does the healing. See? You must believe God. Now, notice that there will come a time when faith will not be needed. And he has told us that that faith will work in favor. In the book of quotations, if you can find it, there is a part there where he speaks about faith for the family or relatives. He says something like that. Faith is going to work or will work in favor. Let us see on page 138 first, 112 as well. Notice on 138 and 12:31 says, what must I do for my family? Use the same faith that you're using for yourself, for your family. Commit them to the Lord and believe with all your heart that you're going to be saved. Let it. No, don't let it just come on your natural thinking here. Let it drop way down on the inside. that subconscious, then they are yours. God's given them to you when you've got it down here, in the soul. And he writes, conscience and subconscious. The soul, the subconscious. There is where you obtain everything you desire. Conscience and subconscious. The soul, the subconscious. There is where you obtain everything you desire. And in that part of that last sentence, of that paragraph, he draws three circles and an arrow that comes out of that sentence when you've got it down here toward the center one. In other words, the arrow goes toward the center, which represents the soul. And right next to it, on the left side, he writes, well, above, from right above that paragraph on the left side, he makes three circles again. Below the three circles, he writes, faith. That is all in the little paragraph, beside the little paragraph. Then under faith, he writes, soul. And he draws a cornerstone. Now, notice, he continues saying here, listen, don't you never believe that. It's your faith in God that does the healing, see? You must believe God. And now, if you can't touch him, then nobody lays hand on you. It was your faith that touched him, and your faith brought the reality. So then, it was no one touch you, but your faith touched him. But your faith touched him. Oh, allow us, Lord, to touch you in this morning. May my faith touch you, Lord. And may he answer the petition there is in each heart, in every place, in this place, that is hearing my voice in this morning. And so that brings real, genuine testimony to him then. Didn't they come to the front after they came out from the little room to testify? It was a testimony of him, of what he did with that person who came out. But remember, each one also testifies of the wonders that he does with each one of us as individuals. And so that brings real, genuine testimony to him then. That's what we're here for, to magnify him. Now notice what he continues saying here. In this other message, be certain of God. On page 7, he says something very important. Notice, he says, and then when you confess all your sins and promise God what you'll do if he'll let you get well, and then because it doesn't happen, you run off like a coward somewhere. God can't use that. There's no way for him to use you. There is no way for him to answer you, because he only answers by faith. And he writes on the side, God only answers by faith. then all of a sudden you go away, he can't answer. But real true faith stands there, being sure that God is, be certain that he is. And if God asks these things to be done, to confess your sins and so forth, and you've done it, faith says that he is. It's certain that it's going to happen. Your request has to be granted. Oh, I hope you don't miss that. If you are sure of God, God is sure of his word. He is only waiting to test you. Now, our brother William continues saying here, Christ in the last day, that great day of the Feast of the Tabernacles, Christ said in John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. This he said of the Spirit, whom those who would believe in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Therefore, the Holy Spirit could not come to the believers in Christ before the day of Pentecost. But where was the Holy Spirit? It was in Jesus, who said on one occasion, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me. And he began to say what he had been anointed for, to preach, to announce, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And when he was to say, And the day of vengeance of our God, he did not say that. He stopped right there, because for his first coming, he would fulfill as far as he read, and he will fulfill the rest of it at his second coming. In the book of quotations on page 53, paragraph 457, it tells us, somebody said to me the other day, Can you stop it? I said, No, sir. He said, Well, what do you? Why don't you keep still? I said, How can I keep still? I'm coming to a judgment. My voice will be, and he writes, it will be in the 50 Laja. My voice will be on the recording there, thou scrape the whole generation. And he writes, of Laodicea, comma, the kingdom of the Gentiles. And he writes, judgment. And above he writes, the judgment in the age of the cornerstone, the judgment ministry of Revelation 11 will destroy this generation. And he goes on to say, in his message in his second coming, he will proclaim the day of vengeance of our God. He will proclaim the great tribulation that is to come, where the judgments contained in the book of Revelation will fall upon the human race. As simple as that. Notice, in the message, the indictment, on page 29, it tells us, and look, at that little old ill-famed woman, she recognized it. She wasn't undocumented. The lamp wasn't. She was morally wrong, of course. No one would endorse that. The laws of God condemned that. She was morally wrong. But she, notice, God don't judge you upon your what you are. He judges not how big you are or how little you are. He judges your heart, what you want to be. And she didn't want none of that stuff. And when this flashed before her, that's what she wanted. No matter what she was then, she was ready to come. See? God judges the heart. And he writes, God judges the heart. And he draws a Star of David, and he writes, Samaritan. Man judges the outward appearance. God looks upon the heart. No matter what she was, that light flashed, and that settles it. She caught the essence of eternal life. Oh my, how rich this is to me, see? To see and to know that it's the truth. I'll stand by this. I'll let the God of heaven will rise up, and my voice, and he writes Revelation 11, and my voice will be on the magnetic tape of God's great time yonder, and it will condemn this generation in the last day. And there he writes, this generation will be condemned by what WMB, that is William Myron Branham, said. Now, how would this generation be condemned? On a writing on the backside, there he writes, the voice of the prophet will condemn this generation on the last day. And he writes, with Moses and Elijah. Now notice, here he continues saying, therefore, we are going to have prophecies to be fulfilled at the last day, in the coming of the Lord, and we are going to see him fulfilling them. And that will be the identification of the coming of the Messiah, of the Anointed One, at the last day. On page 84, notice, in the time of Jesus, he himself said back then, because he was someone who was a revolutionist back then, and he himself told them, I do not come to bring peace. He said something like that. I come to bring division. Now notice, what would he be doing at his second coming, where it was promised that his angels would be sent to make that separation, that segregation? Isn't that the same thing they've been saying? Well, this guy is coming up to divide up families now. It is how they are identifying him. In other words, he comes to make the separation, the segregation between right and wrong. And the only one, as Brother Branham says in the book of quotations, the only one who can do that is the angel of the Lord. Matthew 10, St. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, says, verse 32 says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I have come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man in variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And he that receiveth you receives me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Notice what a tremendous message there. He goes on to say in verse 41, He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Now notice all of that there, which here in the book of quotations on page 84, paragraph 718, it says, think, everything will move just as common as it can be. A fanatic message will go by, and the first thing you know, something, this minister going somewhere, he never come back. He probably went to the woods hunting. He just never returned no more. And this fellow went somewhere. May say one out of every 100 million will ever know anything about it. See, lest somebody that's acquainted with her say, the girl's missing. Why? I can't understand. She never did leave like that. No. And when they say, the graves will open, how is the graves going to open? When I haven't got time to get into this, what I want to. I'm going to have to take this. See, just show you the simplicity of God. And above he writes, the resurrection and the angels, and a fanatic or fanatic's message. Just to show you the simplicity of God, and that calcium, potash, and everything, when everything that is in you of materials only makes a spoonful, that's right. And what that does, it brings them back into spirit and life. God just speaks, and the rapture will come. It ain't going out there and the angels come down and shove up the graves and get out an old dead carcass here. What is it? It was born of sin to begin with, but a new one. And there he writes, theophany. But a new one made in its likeness. And he draws Star of David there on the side. Likeness, Star of David, and he writes, likeness. And on the side above he writes, God speaks his last message. They will hear the voice of the Son of Man, S.M., Son of Man. And below, the last page on the bottom below paragraph 719, he writes, the messenger and his message of an age is seen as fanatic, and of a dispensation is seen even more so. The messenger and his message of an age is seen as a fanatic. The messenger and his message. The messenger and his message of an age is seen as a fanatic. And of a dispensation is seen even more so. He goes on saying, he comes for his church to give her the faith to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. On page 129 of the book of quotations on paragraph 1149, it tells us, from the seventh angel's messenger of the seventh seal, message in Revelation 10 was the seventh seal. And he writes, the seventh seal equals is Revelation 10. What is Revelation 10? The seventh seal, the coming of the Lord. To the seven trumpets between those two times. Oh God, how can we say this to make the people see it? It's between that sixth trumpet and the sixth trumpet and the sixth seal sound at the same time. And between the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet, there is a prophet to appear before the Gentiles to call the people back to the original Pentecostal doctrine. And the two witnesses of Revelation 11 appears to the Jews to send them to Jesus while the church is being taken up. And he draws a cornerstone there. All of them prophets. Amen. The word of the Lord cannot be broken. And he draws Star of David. It won't be a denomination. And he writes Moses and Elijah. And on the side as well, toward the top, it won't be a denomination. Do you see it? Read in your book here and see if that in between the sixth and seventh trumpet isn't injected in there. Let the Jews being called out. And there on the left side, he writes Revelation 11, 3-7. Between the sixth and seventh plague, we come over to that 144,000. You remember that? Which was between that. Do you remember? Between the sixth, the fifth seal, and the sixth seal. Between the sixth seal and the seventh seal, there was a call out of the 144,000. You remember that? Now, there is where these trumpets come in right there. And there is where he writes, the call to the Jews equals, is between the sixth and the seventh seal, and between the sixth and seventh trumpet. Our brother William continues saying here, the voice of Christ of Revelation chapter 10, crying out as when a lion roars, and seven thunders uttering their voices, will be the voice of Christ coming with the little book open in his hand, the title deed that was in the right hand of God. And we already saw there that Revelation 10 is the seventh seal. It is the coming of the Lord. Him receiving it and bringing it to earth to convey it, to pass it on to his church, who is heir of God and joint heir with Christ our Savior. Romans chapter 8, verse 14-39, to thus give her the faith to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. In the message of this book of the ages, unedited, the message, let us see, if it's the ten virgins. Or 397. It is 397. On 489 is the writing that he has there, but let us turn there in a few seconds, in a few minutes. Notice here, on 397 of this Book of the Ages, unedited, it says on paragraph 141, it says, it will be a secret coming. No one will know when it's going to happen. We are commanded to be ready and watching. We don't know what hour, but whatever it is, will not prevent any of those back in here. For just as soon as Jesus appears, the whole watch rises. Dead or alive, doesn't matter. Now notice, in the book of the 70 weeks of Daniel, on page 9, which on the book in Spanish would be 11 on the book released. Here in English it's page 9. Let us see. It is on page 9, page 13 on yours, in Spanish. Where it says, how many of you heard Kennedy's, President Kennedy's speech, the comments and so forth? How many heard this prediction? That by January the 1st, it's predicted that both the United States and Russia will be volcanic ashes? That's all we need. It's later than we are thinking, see? So, if we are near till even men of this earth are predicting these tremendous things to happen, we better be on the alert. Everything right up to date. All confession made. Everything ready. Because we don't know just what time our Lord is going to summons us. And he writes, come up hither. And when he gives the summons, come up hither, better be ready, and it's going to come in the hour that you think not. He will summon, and he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and an arrow toward the cornerstone. And he writes, all confessions made. Now notice what he goes on to say here, that this next paragraph is in the book of quotations. Page 47. So to see there what he also wrote on that paragraph. And I'm going to read it from the book of the ages, to also read what he wrote there. But just for you to have it, it is on page 47. Paragraph 402. That paragraph is the one I'm reading. It says, we don't meet him first. We meet one another first. The Bible said, Ephesians 5th chapter, it says, for we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, down here, shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep. Them precious ones that sealed their blood, sealed their testimony with their blood, not prevent or hinder those that are asleep. For the trumpet will sound. Something will take place. The gospel something will sound. Here he says, for the trumpet will sound, something will take place, the gospel something will sound. There in the book of quotations, he writes above, right on that sentence, the gospel of the kingdom. And here he writes, in the book of the ages, on the side he writes, 1 Thessalonians 4:12 to 17. And 1 Corinthians 15:49 to 55. Something will take place. The gospel something will sound, the announcing of his coming. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be changed, standing, and feel a change come on. The gray hair go out. The wrinkles fall away. Be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And we shall meet our loved one first. There is Mama. Papa. There is my buddy. Oh, hallelujah. We're ready. And then, together with them that were dead, says the scripture, we'll be caught up in the air to meet the Lord. The order of the coming. And there on the bottom he writes, the announcing of his coming equals the trumpet sounding. Our brother William continues saying in this message, therefore, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ at the end time, at the last day, will be hearing the voice of Christ, the mighty angel that comes down from heaven, and he will be speaking as when a lion roars, that is, as king, because he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the King of kings and Lord of lords, of which there in that excerpt on page 91, which begin at the bottom right side, page 91, paragraph 792 says, now remember, now, in the first age was a lion age. That was the lion of the tribe of Judah, Christ. His own influence of life taking that age. That's the first beast, which means power, that answered by human voice. On the right side of the Star of David, and there he writes, lion equals power by a human voice. Now, he says that he will be speaking to us as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, that is, as king, because he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the King of kings and Lord of lords. It says that when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices, Revelation 10. And John says, I was about to write, but I heard the voice saying to me, do not write what the thunders have uttered. On page 82 in the Book of Quotations, paragraph 6, it says, look where the voice was, the thunders, not in heaven, on earth. And there on the left side, the cornerstone and the ages, and an arrow toward the cornerstone. The thunders never uttered from the heavens. They uttered from the earth. After it's all done, completed, then these seven thunders' voices is the only thing that's stuck to the book, that's not revealed. It's not even written in the book. Oh my, I wish I could get that. That the people could actually... don't fail. Don't fail. Please don't this time. I'm fixing to leave you. Don't fail. And above that paragraph he writes, the voices of the thunders were on earth, equals through a prophet. The voices of the thunders were on earth, equals through a prophet. You ever listened? Listen. These seals are on the backside of the book, and at the time that the seventh angel is sounding, all the mysteries that are written in the book is completed, and immediately the book that was open and written within is closed. The mysteries of God is finished, and there on the left side, a Star of David. The mysteries of God is finished, and this is the mysteries of God, the going of the church, and all these other things. Now, when he begins to sound, the mystery will be finished. Now note, then it's time for the seven seal voices of Revelation 10 to be revealed. And he writes, the thunders equals the voices of the seventh seal. The voices of the seventh seal, what is it? The revelation of the thunders. What brings the rapturing faith for his church. In this message, recognizing your day and its message, tells us there on page 7, it says, now, we noticed last Sunday there was preaching the feast days. Last Sunday, this was on July 26th of 64. minus 7 last Sunday was July 19th. He preached the Feast of the Trumpets, which are two messages that is good for you to have it. Because here is the one recognizing your day and its message. He brought us everything he did not say there. And what he did not speak there, he abound a little more here. Now, he says on page 8. Now, we noticed last Sunday, preaching the feast days. And there was a feast of Pentecost. And between the feast of Pentecost and the feast of trumpet, there was a long period of time. Exactly 50 days. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And below in the ages, he writes 49. And on the cornerstone on top, he writes 50. Pentecost means 50. It was the sheaf waving of the first fruits of the harvest was brought in. And we see it was a type back there with the natural first fruits, representing the first fruits of the Holy Spirit to be poured out upon the people. And we find out then that them 50 days was received by the Gentiles, which God called from the Gentiles a people for his name, the Feast of the Pentecost. And we have been going through that long Feast of Pentecost. Now, actually, from the 50 days would be exactly 7 Sabbaths. And 7 Sabbaths represented the 7 church ages, to be called in the time of the Pentecostal Feast of the Pentecost, to call a people from the Gentiles for his name. Now, at the end of these 7 Sabbaths, which has been, there was to be the Day of Atonement, which was the 7 trumpets. And the 7 trumpets was to call a day of mourning, back for the sacrifice, or the atonement. And we find out then that Israel, the 7 trumpets, pertain only to Israel. There below he writes, the 7 trumpets equal, bring forth the holy convocation of Israel for the Day of Atonement in the 50th year, year of Jubilee. And there on the left side he writes, Day of Atonement today for Israel. And then, why he wouldn't let me preach these 7 trumpets? I was ready to announce it, to preach this great message, the 7 trumpets. And there besides this great message, he writes, the gospel of the kingdom. It was after the ages. And I said, there is something bothering me so bad. I said, we kept on working, and Billy and all of us, trying to get everything ready for the air-conditioned building for this next coming week. But the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me do it, for some reason. I wondered why. And when I went in to pray, I told my wife, I'm going in. I knelt down before God to pray. And he revealed me that them 7 trumpets sounded under the 6th seal. And I've done priesthood supernaturally. See, it's the hand of God, the whole thing. It pertains to Israel. And we picked them up under the 6th seal, you all who have that, how the persecution of the Jews. And he writes, the trumpets under the 6th seal. The time of the Gentiles has been in the Pentecostal feast. The trumpets, all of them, were sounded under the 6th seal. And we picked it up last Sunday under the Feast of the Trumpets, if you all want to get it. What was it to do? To rush the Jews from all parts of the world back into their homeland. It must be there. And the opening of the seals under the 6th seal. The 7th trumpet sounded in the 6th seal. And he tells us there, our brother William says, what the thunders uttered is the revelation of the 7 mysteries. That is, the revelation of the second coming of Christ to his church to take her with him to the marriage supper of the Lamb. On page 48 in the book of quotations, paragraph 417, it says, the same voice that summoned John, come up, the same voice that said to John, come up, is the same voice that summons the church someday. Amen. Summons the church. Also, the same voice that summoned John to come up is the same voice that summons dead Lazarus out of the grave. That same voice of the archangel. Christ is the voice of the archangel. The voice of the archangel, see? Oh, that trumpet voice of Christ summons John to come up. The same voice summons Lazarus. Did you notice at the grave of Lazarus? He spoke with a loud voice. That same voice said to John, come up here. I'll show you some things that's fixing to happen. That same voice that shall sound when the dead in Christ shall rise for the trumpet. The trumpet. What is the trumpet? The voice of Christ. The same one sounded and summoned him up. Come up hither. And above there he writes, come up hither, Revelation 4:1, the rapture. The voice of the archangel equals Christ in his angel. The great trumpet equals the voice of Christ. And he had drawn on the right side a cornerstone, and he writes, come up. On 166, page 166 also, tells us on 1478, it says, the very Creator and the very Creator himself, when he raised up Lazarus from the dead, he said, think this not strange, for the hour is coming that when all that's in the graves will hear the voice of the Son of Man and shall come out. The very God that said, let there be light, said, the voice of the Son of Man would wake those that are in the grave. What would wake those that are in the grave? The voice of the Son of Man. That is, in John chapter 5, notice he wrote there, that they shall hear the voice of the Son of Man, and they shall rise, and he writes, in flesh, shall hear the voice of the Son, and he writes, in flesh. It has to happen in its season. Now, we notice here that in Luke, the 17th chapter and the 30th verse, he said, in the last days, that the Son of Man would reveal himself as he did just before Sodom and Gomorrah, and the same conditions would exist. Now watch, the Son of Man was revealed to Abraham's group, a man, a prophet in a form of human flesh, an ordinary man with dust on his clothes, and Abraham called him Elohim. And he writes above there, the voice of the resurrection. The resurrection, colon, the Son of Man. Our brother William continues to say there, and the revelation of the seven thunders, which will be made known in the last day to his church, will give her the faith to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb, because they will be listening to the voice of the mighty angel, the voice of the mighty angel who comes down from heaven, who is Christ, who is the angel of the covenant, speaking to his church to restore every believer in Christ to the physical eternal life by transforming our bodies, and the believers in Christ who died by resurrecting them into glorified and eternal and young bodies for all eternity. At each time, God's warning was, if today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Look, in this message, Watchman, What of the Night, preached on July 22nd of 1960, our brother Branham tells us, God said in the Bible, take heed of the flock which the Holy Spirit had made you a watchman over. be sure that they are fed with the right food, making ready for the coming of the Lord. Oh, how it was sad when that great midnight cry came, and it was all over. It reminded me of a story that I read some years ago about a prospector in Arizona. He was one of these gold-minded people, and he wanted to get rich all at once. So he goes into the desert to prospect. While he was prospecting, he found a great nest of nuggets, and just overnight became a multimillionaire with the sacks full of gold. And he packed his burro, and he and his burro and his faithful dog started back to the civilization with the sweat flying from his face, his eyes a-glittering, and on his road to have a good time the rest of his life. So, when he was nearing to his place where his destination was to be, they said there was an old abandoned shack. He had not reached his final destination, and on the way there was an old abandoned shack. And he went into that shack and laid the money out upon the table by a little grease candle and was looking over the nuggets. That is, he was looking at them there. Little did he know that there was eyes watching him. And along about the time that he lay down and went to sleep, while he started to go to sleep, the old faithful dog began to bark. And he was laying on his pillow thinking, "Oh, tomorrow I'll change these nuggets for currency, and I'll buy great cars, and I'll drink good whiskey. I'll do all these things, and have a big time, and I'll go to every dance." And all he would do, daydreaming that. And his dog kept barking, barking away. Like some people who have dogs, or a little dog as a pet. And the dog barks because something is there. And then they scold the dog because he's barking. But he's warning you that someone is there. First check if something is there. Sometimes it's a lizard. But it could also be a warning of a danger. And his dog kept barking, barking away. He went to the door and opened the door and said, "Shut up!" And the dog whined. He was tied to a leash. That is, the dog was tied down. And he tried to warn his master. But he went back again and lay down on his bed. And again, the dog started barking again. And he called him time after time, "Shut up! I don't want to hear you. I want a lovely dream tonight of the good times I'm going to have tomorrow when I cash in my gold." And finally, the dog barked again. He became angry. He reached in the corner and got a double-barreled shotgun, went to the door with both hammers back. That is, he pulled the trigger back and shot the dog down to death, said, "That'll take care of you. I won't need you no more anyhow." Set the gun down and lay down on the bed and folded his hands with his dreams and fell off to sleep. Just a little while, the door opened easily. Someone slipped across the floor and plunged a saber knife onto his bosom and took the gold and left with it. And what did he do? He killed the voice that was warning him. Let that not be our stand. Oh, that voice of the Holy Spirit that warns the church day after day as we see the approaching of the Lord. Let's not steal that voice by ignoring it and turning it away. Notice, how do we silence that voice? Notice, by rejecting it, by ignoring it. But let's take heed to the warning that it gives us. God has a watchman over his heritage. And there he writes, the voice that warned. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And he writes, the watchman equals the Holy Spirit in each messenger speaking and watching over his church. Now notice, that was a sign that was warning him that there was danger there. He silenced the voice that was warning him. Now notice that there is a voice that the Gentile world, at the end of that testimony, says, when they have finished their testimony. Notice that sign. Since we are on this subject, the voice of the sign, in this message, the sign for the unbelieving generation, preached on April 4, 1999, here in Calle, Puerto Rico, our brother William tells us, and there will also be another sign that will have to do with death and resurrection, which will be the sign of the death and resurrection of the two olive trees, according to Revelation chapter 11, verse 3 to 7. And that sign will be even seen through television. But with that sign that they will see, it will not be for their salvation. With that sign of the resurrection will come such a great earthquake that thousands of people will die. It says that about 7,000 will die there in the city. And it is unknown how many more will die throughout the world if the whole world shakes, as it happened in the crucifixion of Christ. Now notice that is parallel in every way. As it happened in the crucifixion of Christ, where there was a great earthquake, where the stones opened, and there was a resurrection. There is a place in the ages where Brother Branham speaks about some evangelists. They were a married couple. They were some missionaries. There is one place, if you can search it as a... They put them... You may search it as buried. They didn't bury them. Spit, I think, is what they said. Missionaries, let me see if it is marked on this other one. If he marked it. It must be in the one of Laodicean Church Age. Or the 10 virgins. I was reading it this morning, but I didn't write it down. The page, that is, I saw it, but I moved on. But that same thing happened there, and he makes a reference there of it. If you can find it, he was talking about some either missionaries or was a couple. It might be around where I read just now. Let's look first for that page. It should be nearby. Unedited ages. Let us see on 51. It's here as well. It wasn't, but it's here too. Look at this picture I got from down in South America when they killed that Pentecostal missionary there, his wife, laying in the street. And him and two little children, little girl, and her little belly swelled up like that. They wouldn't even bury them. Walk along, spit there on them like that for 3 or 4 days. Brother Cop taking the picture. I got them at home, see? The way they do. Then they send gifts one to another. And there he drew a Star of David on the side, on that paragraph 403 above. They killed that Pentecostal missionary. There he drew a Star of David. And he writes, South America. C397. This is the one we read further down, and it was above. 396 at the bottom. But then when they do that, the Jews will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and there will be a revival there that will stop the heavens in the days of the don't rain. They'll do all kinds of signs and miracles. And finally, the Roman hierarchy, the Jews have the wealth of the world. And so the Roman Catholic Church will break his agreement with the Jews after the things is over. And then there will the treaty that they got signed between them. He'll go down there. And then when God will stand like he did in the old days there and fight for Israel. They'll finally kill these two prophets. And they'll lay in the street and spit on them. Like they did this Pentecostal minister and his wife and children here a few weeks ago, down there. And the little belly swelled up that big of the children, where they walked by and spit on them. Let them lay there in that hot sun for 3 or 4 days without burying them. They'll do the same thing. The Bible said so. They'll do the same thing right there. And when they do that, after 3 days laying dead, the Spirit of life will come into these two prophets, and they'll rise up and ascend into glory. And about that time, the firework starts then. That's the end time. That's when she's over. Now remember that. All of this, later on, he spoke this in the Book of the Seals. That is why in the ages, you have to see it in the light of the seals. Although later it was edited. But there are many things there that Brother Branham corrected later on. And that is why we have always to see it at the light of the seals. That is after he preached the seals. Now notice that sign, which we already know, that will happen. Hear the voice of God for the last day. Just as they heard the voice of God in each age or stage of the church, God speaking through His Spirit to the messenger pertaining to each time, and through the messenger of each time, speaking to His church, to His people of the New Covenant. On page 62 in the Book of Quotations, paragraph 542, it tells us, now, the coming is so imminent, the second coming of Jesus. He's gathering his elect together. And there on the right, he writes, west. and a cornerstone in the ages. And below he writes, east. I believe that. Oh, they'll come from the east and west, where the carcass is. The eagles will gather. Oh my. And he writes on the left side, the angels dash Moses and Elisha. What is it? He's got his uniness, his true uniness, showing himself among them, out of every denomination, bringing his elect together from all kinds of churches, from everywhere, bringing out his children, falling right in line with his word. And there he draws a cornerstone. What? Now, the coming of the Lord Jesus is so imminent, the coming of judgment. And above he writes, the coming of the Lord equals the coming of judgment. I was talking to him once, on one occasion. It was that time when I told him, I said, if I have to give my life, I will do it. I'll do it. And there, then he told me several things. But notice that after seeing the whole picture, which later on, he continued showing me all that. Look, who is going to like to be gaining enemies with what he will be bringing? No one. Who is going to like to be speaking divine judgment? Because everyone wants peace. But in his coming, he comes bringing blessings, but he also comes bringing judgment. And that is why I told him, no matter what it costs me, I'll make that decision. Because the divine program would be carried out. And there was no way for that not to be in that way. There was no way to evade that. He tried there in Gethsemane. He said, Lord, if there wasn't another way to carry out this, will it have to be this way? If it was possible, let this cup pass from me. But notice, he always said, but let it be according to your word, to your will. Now notice that the first coming of the Lord was a work of victory, although it seemed like the greatest defeat. That was the greatest victory that has been obtained there on Calvary's cross. And this matter of this sign will be the greatest victory that God will do in the midst of the human race, where the kingdoms of the Gentiles will become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 and on. In other words, although seemingly it will be something and looks like something hard, don't worry. That will be the greatest victory, which not only do we depend on, but those who are over there as well. And He said it. While Brother Miguel was speaking, I was taking a look on this book that was distributed today. And on page 193 of this book of today, I was briefly looking over it, and there we were reading from that message where it says, of the message, the mystery of God's masterpiece, which was preached on November 22nd, 1997 in Brazil. Our brother William says, I depend on that ministry of Jesus Christ in Holy Spirit, promised for the last day, where He will be manifesting the ministry of Moses for the second time, the ministry of Jesus for the second time, and the ministry of Elijah for the fifth time. I depend on that manifestation of Jesus Christ in Holy Spirit and those ministries that He promised to manifest. Now notice, why did He also depend on that? Because those who are over there in the sixth dimension, they also depend on those ministries. Because He says there that they are waiting. But what are you doing here? We're waiting for the coming of the Lord, which in the book of the ages He says, and He writes Revelation 11. That is, there they were waiting for Him to go by, carry out the pertaining judgment there, and brings them back to earth, as it was in the first coming of the Lord, and opening the graves after His resurrection. He had already passed through that place, but the one who resurrected first was Jesus. I was saying to some brethren, when they said to me, I have no family, it is just me, or others. I have no children, and my parents died. I don't know where my brothers are. How will I know that the resurrection has happened if I have no one to appear to me, to whom I may say, oh, you have died? And although you are telling me that you are the one who did this and such a place, well, I don't know you. I'm worried, brother. They have written to me. What should I do? Don't you worry. I myself will appear to you. And then he got happy. Problem solved. Oh, brother, you don't know how much peace that gives me. Notice that is the voice of the sign today being fulfilled. It is that scripture being quickened, being materialized, fulfilling what it was said that would happen. And it would be that word, that sign, that voice of the scripture. Now, let us finish up there on page 62. Paragraph 542, it says, now, the coming of the Lord Jesus is so imminent, the coming of judgment. He is calling His elect together in oneness with Himself, with the same kind of ministry He had. He is calling the elect Pentecostals out to make the headstone to come into it. And there He draws a cornerstone and the ages. A very same kind of ministry dropping right in on it, calling His children from all denominations and all works of life. What has He done? He has placed with them a true teacher, true prophet, who stays with His word, the Bible. My sheep hear My voice, said Jesus. If that was His voice then, it is His voice now. Anything contrary to that voice is not sheep food. They won't follow it. Oh, brother, from east, from west, out of every denomination, out of every organization, they've come from east and west gathering together. And there He draws a cornerstone in the ages. And He writes on the right side, teacher equals prophet. And our brother William continues saying, now, we can see where the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be placed at the last day by the Holy Spirit, who will be speaking in that crowning age of the Church, the age of the cornerstone. Just as the Holy Spirit spoke in each age in the midst of His Church, manifesting Himself through the messenger of each age, placing that message, that word, in the mouth of each messenger. And that was the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to His Church. And at this end time, it will be the Holy Spirit at the last day speaking to His Church. The voice of the sign. That has been the subject for this study before the message, which we have been speaking about, and of which God gave us many things there, in which He was showing us how that voice of the Scripture has been fulfilling from age to age, being fulfilled in the messenger of each age and each dispensation. Notice, a fanatic message a messenger when it is an age. He says, how much more when it is dispensational? Let us stand to thus have in this subject that we have for today. This week, is it Wednesday? 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th, Wednesday. On Wednesday, February 28th, there, we are remembering that moment of the appearance of the cloud. And that day, 28th, I remember, I think it was 2022, where many important things were spoken there. That day is also my grandson's birthday, Joseph Eliseo. His birthday is also on that 28th. So, all those who have a birthday on this month and around those days, one person told me his birthday, he told me was on the 29th. But I said, you have a birthday on the 29th? Yes, on Thursday, so that you can remember it. My birthday is on the 29th. And I'm like, is it the 28th or is it the 1st? No, I'm going to celebrate it the 29th. So those that have a birthday on the 29th, many greetings, and may God bless you greatly. And all those celebrating their birthday through this year. So we hope in the year we're having a birthday be the year of our transformation. There are great events which will be carried out, which we desire to be part of them. And remember that God listens. What I just read, it is by faith. Faith? Where was it? Let us see if it was right here. If it was this one, yes. God only answers by faith. God only answers by faith. Well, the voice of the sign. Let us immediately leave with us our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.